And let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we feel your Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. So how do you feel Christmas? What does Christmas feel like? Do you get there through shopping or through decorating or through family gatherings? How do you feel Christmas? It's probably not through turning to this story of Joseph. It's not one of the ones that give us that Christmas feeling. Oh, sure, we'll go to, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. But we don't talk about Joseph exposing Mary to public disgrace. You know, poor Joseph, when I think of it, he hardly gets a mention. He's there throughout the Christmas story, but you know, throughout all of Scripture, all of the gospel lessons, Joseph doesn't say a word. We don't sing about him much either, do we? All is calm and all is bright around the virgin and child, but where's Joseph? And we sing, Mary, did you know? But did anyone ask Joseph if he knew? A friend of mine who was in Israel with me in Tantur said when he was a little altar boy in his Roman Catholic Church, he's a priest now, but he was there on Advent 4 and he heard this Christmas story about Joseph and the angel, and he ran home to his mother in tears saying, Mom, did you know Joseph thought about divorcing Mary? No, we don't turn to this story for our Christmas feelings, usually. What do you turn to? Is it the decorating? We have many decorations on our tree that mean a lot to us. Two of them are those little balls that say baby's first Christmas. We received one, a pink one, the first time when Heather was born, and then we received a blue one when William was born. And we put them on the tree, but then when the children were old enough, we'd have them decorate the tree with those balls themselves. And over the years, they got higher up on the tree. This is the first year that Heather will not be home to put her baby's first Christmas on the tree. The decorations can make you feel like Christmas, and sometimes they make you feel sad. Perhaps it is family gatherings, and Norman Rockwell is great at depicting these iconic scenes of family gatherings. The famous turkey on the table, and this one is called Welcome Home. But for many, again, these are scenes of nostalgia of times past that are now gone and tug at the heartstrings. And for many people, these are scenes that never were. They never knew a Christmas such as this. Sometimes for those people, it is a wonderful thing to be part of serving those who are marginalized and hungry at this Christmas season, as Robert Midmer once again did with his friends from Kingsway Lambton last Friday night at the Out of the Cold meal. Or our UCW has provided hampers to the women's shelter, but Esther told me a story of a distribution of women's shelter materials to their outreach center. And a woman was there volunteering and giving to women in need, and she saw one of the women who had in her pocket the strap from her purse. She recognized it. She went and took it back from her. She said, "Of course, oh, I thought it was my purse." Bless this person's heart, she did not make a fuss about it. She just took her purse back. You know, when you serve those who are without, they are not noble because they are without. They are broken as we are broken. And we serve them not because they're wonderful, but because they're us. And to serve them is important. But it doesn't always give you warm fuzzies. What helps you to feel Christmas? Perhaps it is a Christmas movie. For many people, Christmas doesn't really begin until they've seen the conversion of Alistair Sim in A Christmas Carol. Or what is your Christmas movie that works on you? It's A Wonderful Life, or perhaps White Christmas. Esther doesn't like me watching these. But sometimes, you know, it's hard to find the Christmas movie on television now. They seem to be replaced by those Hallmark card ones. And those things are sweeter than maple syrup and worse for your teeth. And what about children? Don't they make Christmas for you sometimes? Like the little girl and boy, their grandmother was out doing some Christmas shopping with her grandchildren, and they got into the car, and her six-year-old grandson, Jason, said, "Susie has something in her pocket," and he reached in and pulled out a brand new red barrette. Well, Grandma knew she had to take Susie back to the store where she had taken it so that she would learn that isn't something you do. And she did. And later they were at the grocery store, and the person at the cash said, as they usually do, to Jason, she said, "Have you been a good little boy this year?" And he said, "I have been very good, but my sister just robbed a store." Children are children, and they grow up. And sometimes families are apart at Christmas. Sometimes there is illness. Sometimes there is dementia. Sometimes there is death. And sometimes there is that estrangement which comes with being a human being. And those we love are apart from us, and we do not know how to come together. Sometimes feeling Christmas is a little hard in this world. You know, I think of the famous words of Peter Marshall. He wrote a sermon in 1952 that was published in Look magazine, and it has been published pretty much every year since then. It's called Keeping Christmas, and this is how it ends. "So we will not spend Christmas nor observe Christmas. We will keep Christmas. Keep it as it is in all the loveliness of its ancient traditions. May we keep it in our hearts that we may be kept in its hope." I love these words, and I don't want to disagree with them, but sometimes, you know, it's impossible for us to keep Christmas. It isn't even really our job. Our job is to receive Christmas. Christmas is kind of like the manna they received in the wilderness. If you try and keep it, it runs through your fingers like brown sugar sauce of plum pudding. Christmas is that thing which you continue to receive every moment of your life in the relentless love of God. Really, receiving Christmas comes closer in some ways to the words of George Bernard Shaw. He wrote this in 1946. Christmas is for me simply a nuisance. The mob supports it as a carnival of mendacity, gluttony, and drunkenness. 50 years ago, I invented a society for the abolition of Christmas. So far, I am the only member. That is all I have to say on the subject. He's a Scrooge. That's the picture behind is of Scrooge before the conversion. But in some ways, that's closer to those who received that first Christmas. It came in a flagrantly improper way. It came as a shock and as a surprise. That's the feeling of the first Christmas, kind of a nuisance. Barbara Manners in the congregation, I don't know whether she saw my little video promo or the sermon title, but when she saw it, she said, sent me a little video that said, "This is what makes me feel Christmas," and I think this extends out George Bernard Shaw's word in a different way. I'm going to let you watch this video. Keep an eye on her is the sign there. And it says, "Not on Mary's watch." But sheep isn't done just yet. And neither is Mary. Now, while the Blessed Virgin puts the sheep into a headlock, I want you to turn your attention away for a moment to Joseph and watch him. Poor Joseph wringing his hands. I think it's a perfect depiction of Joseph. He's in the background. He doesn't know what to do. All this is happening. It's not my kid. And he's wringing his hands and worried. I love the expression on this little boy's face. But that's Joseph feeling Christmas. It comes, well, when Mary gets the word, she is frightened. The angel has to tell her, "Don't be afraid, Mary." She is perplexed. She gradually comes to the Magnificat, rejoicing, wondering at this turning the tables on world history where the poor are brought up into significance in God's eyes. But there is Joseph with some significance as a man in that time, and this scandalous situation is presented to him, and he, a little bit superior, being a righteous man, isn't going to expose Mary to disgrace publicly, resolves to divorce her quietly. But it all comes to him that he is somehow to be part of this unfolding of the strangeness of this story. So if Christmas is a feeling, perhaps it should come to you first as fear and confusion and perplexity and strangeness in order to receive what is really happening here. Joseph is told to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will not save them necessarily from suffering or from heartbreak or from the challenges of mortal life. But as you go through all those challengings and all that flesh is heir to, you will know that sin, that which seeks to separate us from the love of God and from one another, has no reign over us. For this Jesus has come that we might know God is with us. In every situation, in every feeling, in every challenge, we have the dignity of being a child of God and being part of the unfolding of God's purpose and love in this world. It's a wonderful thing when that feeling of Christmas comes upon you. And it comes in strange ways. I don't know if you were at our Living Nativity last Sunday afternoon, but one of the participants in that nativity was Fern, a kune kune spotted pig from New Zealand. Now, we laughed about this a little bit because I don't know how many pigs were at the manger in Bethlehem. There's something about Judaism and pork. But I love the fact that Fern was there. We are an inclusive big tent church. Especially that she was from New Zealand. Kune kune is a Maori word which means fat and round. Well, there's a woman named Jean Ballard. I came across her story after meeting Fern. She wrote of a Christmas when she was all alone. She doesn't explain the circumstances why she was alone that year. She only says that it was her first Christmas without a family around her and stockings on the mantle hung with strange shapes inside. She was by herself on a little farm overlooking the Fraser Valley. It was a picture postcard of snow deep upon deep. And she was there minding that farmstead and looking after some rescue animals in the homely barn nearby. She was feeling a little sorry for herself on Christmas Eve. She thought, I have to do something, so she got up and went to check the animals in the barn. Now, one set of animals was a group of pot-bellied pigs. They had been in terrible, inhumane conditions and had been delivered to her in order to regain some peace and health. Their names were Scotch and Soda. Turns out Soda was a sow who was pregnant, and she had 10 little piglets. I don't know if they named them Mixer and... But she went in, and there were Scotch and Soda and the 10 little piglets huddled in the straw. And she went in with a blanket. And she had learned in the time that she was with them that Scotch liked to be sung to. And he particularly liked You Are My Sunshine. So she sat down in the pen and began to sing You Are My Sunshine. And Scotch came over and put his muzzle on her lap and cuddled up to her. And then she felt Soda kind of move in and cuddle up to her. And then she felt all 10 little piglets gather around her legs. And if they weren't touching her, they were touching each other, and they formed a little group there. And it struck her suddenly that there was a significance somehow to that number 12 biblically. And there was a significance there on that Christmas Eve to her being in a stable. And suddenly, Christmas came to her. Not the Christmas of family gatherings and decorations, but the Christmas of a love that found her alone on a Christmas Eve in a wintry stable. How do you feel Christmas? What does Christmas feel like? I hope at some point in this season of Christmas, when the shopping is done and when the decorations have found their place, that you might even find the place for this shocking surprise, this relentless love that is always with you. Let us pray. O gracious God, let Christmas come to us. Let it find us in its shocking way. And let us be overwhelmed by your coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to join me in prayer, and our response to our various intercessions is